Hello, good morning. My name is Alex, and I'm one of the ministers here at Andover Community Church. And it is great to be talking to you all today as we continue this series, looking at this idea of what it means to be fully alive. And we've been reflecting on this in the context of the post-Easter story, what happened after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the incredible encounters that the risen Jesus had with people. These amazing accounts that we get to read about in the New Testament part of the Bible. And Becky and I actually were chatting a little bit about that in the studio before today. So in previous weeks, we've looked at the importance of things like love and hope and peace in our quest for being fully alive. And today, I'm going to be talking about freedom. And Chris teed that up really well. Like, we could hear you actually from the studio shouting that out. So today, I'm going to be looking at freedom, which is a tricky subject matter for a lot of us, isn't it? And I want us to start with a question, a personal question, to keep in our minds as we explore this today. So I want to ask you all this. What do you long to be free from? What do you long to be free from in your life? I was doing a little bit of research into this in the week, and I came across a podcast series that was entitled The Battles That Won Our Freedoms. And it really brought home to me the fact that there have been so many historical battles and wars and social movements that have secured freedoms that I now get to enjoy and, if I'm honest, take for granted. And this really got me thinking about the people who've tread the path before me, who've engaged or chosen to engage in these kind of battles, often at great costs and sometimes at the cost of their own lives. And there's a reality that we know all too well, isn't there? That freedom is something we often have to fight for. Freedom is something we often have to fight for. No one is born into a life of perfect or complete freedom. And there was a film I watched recently that really highlighted this to me. It's a film called Emancipation. You can see from the picture there, the main character, a man called Peter, played by Will Smith. I think it was released a couple of years ago. I don't know if anyone has seen this film. It is powerful, and it's a hard watch, actually. It's not easy to watch. The film centers on this man called Peter. He's originally from Haiti, but he and his family were brought over to America by slave traders, and they worked on a plantation in Louisiana. Peter, the main character, he is actually based on a real person who was known as Peter, but he had a former name of Gordon, so he goes by the name Peter Gordon, if you look him up online. The film is set in 1863, when the American Civil War was taking place, essentially a war to try and end slavery in America, amongst other things. And the president at the time, who was Abraham Lincoln, held this firm belief that all people are created equal. And he wanted to abolish slavery. But not everyone agreed with him. In particular, it was the southern states of America that opposed him, and so this civil war erupted. It was a war between the free North, as it was called, and the South, where slavery was still in practice. And what I find really fascinating, and I hopefully won't give too much away, but I'm going to go through the storyline of the film, is that actually in the context of this man Peter, this slave, Abraham Lincoln has already issued his Emancipation Declaration, a declaration stating that all people who had been enslaved were now to be free. However, not everyone agreed with this, and particularly the slave owners in the South and the Southern Army refused to acknowledge this, even though it meant that slavery would now be deemed illegal. And there's a bit of a political battle going on around this as well. So Peter, this main character, even though he is a slave, he becomes aware of this information. He hears about the declaration, but he sees his own situation. He sees that he is not going to be given that freedom. So he decides to do something about it. And he decides to make a run for it, to fight for his own freedom. And so the story, the plot line follows Peter as he escapes from the plantation, from some really grueling work, and he sets off on a perilous journey that takes him across swampland. To make it worse, he's being hunted down by some of the slave overseers, and they're on horseback with trained dogs, and it is not an easy watch at all. But it is such a powerful story. It is pretty nerve-wracking as you watch Peter and some others as they head off on the fight of their lives to try and break free and to battle the odds. I must say that Peter is a pretty strong, he's a defiant character, but he also has this resolute faith and trust in God. Even though he has been treated so badly in his life, and even though his situation seems so hopeless, he just doesn't give up. Eventually, and this is a bit of a spoiler, I'm afraid, but he makes it to a military station where Lincoln's troops are based and where he is safe. He actually ends up enlisting himself into the army, and he continues to fight for freedom, and he really wants to make it back to his family. And there's this beautiful scene at the end of the film where the Union Army, Lincoln's army, are marching through places in the South, and they're liberating those who have been enslaved. And one of those places is the plantation that Peter and his family had been on. And it's just an incredible scene. You see that sense of shock as the people hear this news, and then just pure joy and relief erupts as they realize this reality that they are now free. And I'd want to say that it is a happy ending to this story. And in one way it is, but we all know the reality, don't we? We know history. This was nearly 200 years ago. That fight for equality and freedom didn't end there. But it was a significant step in that journey, not just in America, actually, but in the whole world. And what really struck me about this story is not just Peter's tenacity and his determination, although that is impressive. It was how costly his journey to freedom was and how hard he had to fight for it. That's what really got me. And actually, Peter had not had an easy life, as you might imagine, being a slave. He'd been beaten. He'd been tortured many times over. Actually, you'll see a photo of Peter. This is when he arrived at that military camp. This is after he'd been on the run. His clothes were all torn and muddied. But there's another photograph of Peter that will come up in a moment that was taken of him, and this one became famous. It's a photo that spread all over the world as a rallying cry against slavery, and I'm sure you can see why. This was the cost of freedom for Peter. It's pretty shocking, isn't it? Not the best place to pause, but if we could just put that story to one side, I want us to look at another story now about another person called Peter. This Peter lived a longer time ago, around 2,000 years ago, and he was one of Jesus's closest friends and disciples whilst Jesus walked the earth. He's known actually as Peter, but originally his name was Simon, and his story is really interesting. Peter first met Jesus when he was a humble fisherman. He and his brother Andrew, they went out fishing. That was what they did to make a living. And actually, it was his brother Andrew who had heard about Jesus. And Peter's first encounter with Jesus is really transformative. He'd been out fishing all night and hadn't caught any fish. Then Jesus comes along and he tells him to put his nets out again. And this wouldn't have been common practice. Fishing was commonly and successfully done at night time. But Peter does what Jesus asks. He puts his nets out. And this time, there's a huge catch of fish. And this experience, this miracle, completely overwhelms Peter. And he falls to the ground before Jesus. And he cries out, confesses that he is a sinful man. And Jesus simply invites Peter to follow him. And actually, Peter becomes one of the 12 disciples, Jesus' closest group. He'd travel around with him and witness amazing things. And Peter is a really key character in that group. He's actually the first disciple to recognize who Jesus is. He's the first to say that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, which is no small thing if you think about it. And Jesus has high hopes for Peter. He tells Peter he's going to have this great role. He's going to be a great leader in the future. He's going to lead his people, lead the church. He even makes really elaborate claims, telling Peter he's going to have keys to heaven itself, which is an incredible thing to say. What a prosperity for Peter in the future. What authority and leadership Jesus is promising him. And Jesus says all of this to Peter, knowing that he's not someone with the best track record, actually. He says it knowing that Peter's going to make mistakes in the future. And we get to read about that in the New Testament accounts that we have about Jesus' life. At times, we read that Peter's really outspoken. He doesn't often seem to think before he speaks. He could be prone to violence. And worst of all, when Jesus is arrested and would later be sentenced to death, Peter, this promising disciple, close friend of Jesus, well, he runs away, he flees. And when asked by others if he knows Jesus or if he's one of Jesus's followers, he denies him outright. And actually, he doesn't just say, oh, he doesn't know who Jesus is. He swears on it by oath. He calls down curses on himself to try and convince people that he doesn't know Jesus and has nothing to do with it, to do with him. And he doesn't do this just once or twice, but three times. And then when it comes to Jesus' crucifixion and death, Peter is strangely absent. And yet this is the Peter that Jesus promised would be this great leader of his people, a leader of the church. This is the Peter who actually once said really defiantly to Jesus that he would never desert him, even if others did. But things didn't play out that way, did they? Peter messed up, actually, pretty big. He made some significant mistakes. So what was he to do now that Jesus had died? Well, actually, Peter and some other disciples go back to what they know. They go back fishing. And I imagine this was quite a difficult situation. I imagine the reality of Peter's actions were really setting in for him. You know, he'd abandoned his friend and leader at the time when he needed him the most. He'd denied him publicly. Remember, this is no ordinary man. Peter knew who Jesus was. He had declared him to be the Son of God, the Messiah. Peter had disowned God himself. He had turned his back on him. Imagine how that must have weighed on him. Imagine the guilt, the shame, the regret he must have felt. Maybe he was recalling words that Jesus had once said, that whoever disowns him before others, that Jesus was going to disown them before the Father in heaven. Ouch. But then something amazing happened that turned it all around for Peter. Because Peter and the other disciples who'd been out fishing, they are met by Jesus, the risen Jesus in the flesh. He approaches them from the shoreline and a familiar scene unfolds. They've been out fishing all night and not caught any fish. And then this figure from the beach, Jesus, calls out to them and tells them to put their nets out again. And you guessed it, a huge miraculous catch of fish. And it's this miracle, this event, that reveals Jesus to the disciples. Imagine what that would have meant to Peter. And Peter gets out of the boat, jumps out of the boat, runs to Jesus. And there's this beautiful scene that where Jesus and these disciples, they share in a meal together. They have breakfast together. And after breakfast, Jesus approaches Peter and he has a conversation with him. And he gets to the heart of the matter. And this conversation revolves around a question. And it's quite a pointed question. And actually, we're going to hear about this from the account written by John, one of the other disciples, quite likely there at the time. And notice how Jesus addresses Peter in this. So the conversation goes like this. That after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And a third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. This is an amazing conversation. We know it is clearly painful for Peter. I mean, imagine somebody you knew and loved and you denied them outright. Imagine them coming back to you and saying, do you love me? When your actions have clearly demonstrated otherwise. And I don't think Jesus is doing this to try and expose Peter or rub salt in wounds, but instead I think he's doing it to offer Peter a chance, to offer him healing and forgiveness, freedom from his guilt and his shame. Fittingly, isn't it? It's fitting, isn't it, that he gives Peter three opportunities to tell him that he loves him. This is the Peter who denied Jesus three times publicly. And then actually Jesus, in this conversation, you notice he reinstates Peter, reminds him of the person that he has called him to be, this great leader who's going to take care of his people, his sheep. He reminds him that God has got a plan and a purpose for his life. And it doesn't matter what mistakes or failings Peter has made, that won't get in the way of what God wants to do in him. Jesus doesn't reprimand him for his denial or for abandoning him, does he? Instead, he offers him forgiveness, actually, another chance to follow him. Jesus has got work for Peter to do, and he needs Peter to live as a free person, so he can go about fulfilling that calling, telling people about Jesus and about the risen Jesus, rather than maybe his life could have gone a different way. He could have just become an old fisherman who was beating himself up about the opportunity he once let pass him by. He could have been chained to those past failings and feelings of guilt and shame. Jesus needed him to be the Peter he'd called him to be, and not the Simon that he used to be, which is why I think the use of his name is really interesting in that conversation, in the way that John records it. And there's one big reason that Jesus can do this with Peter, that he can offer him this pathway to freedom. And that reason is because Jesus is alive, because he had overcome death itself, and because on the cross he'd taken upon himself things like guilt and shame and regret and sin, everything that can enslave us. Jesus had buried these things and he'd risen to life so that he could offer Peter that new life, that he can offer each and every one of us that new and resurrected life with him, a life that is characterized by freedom. On the cross, Jesus fought the biggest battle ever known for our freedom, because the freedom that he fought for was eternal life. True life and freedom from everything that separates us from God. And so I think the challenge for us is this, whether we are a follower of Jesus or maybe we're not sure what we think about all of this, I think the challenge is this, that even though Jesus has won the war when it comes to our freedom, we may find that we still have our own battles to fight in this area, right? I think we see that in the stories we've looked at today. Think back to Peter, Gordon, that slave who, although declared free, still had to fight his way to freedom. And once free, he would have had to work out what that freedom looks like in his own life. And I imagine that would have been so difficult. How much hurt and pain and bitterness and anger he had to work through, and so many others who'd been enslaved. I'm sure it took a long time for him to even approach the idea of freedom from those experiences. Let's think again of Simon Peter, Jesus' close friend and disciple, had his own path to freedom, a different type of freedom. He could have been held back by his failings. He could have become that bitter man who'd given up and lost hope. But it was in encountering the risen Jesus that he found the path to freedom for him, a path where there was forgiveness and there was hope. And I think we can't avoid the reality that freedom is costly. We saw that, didn't we, in the picture, that awful picture of Peter Gordon. And we see that on the cross. It requires work to restore us from the damage done to us by others, the damage that we do to ourselves. But there's good news. This work is not on us alone. Actually, it's not work that we can actually achieve. We can't earn our freedom in this way, and we can't go at it alone either. God has done the hard work for us. Jesus fought that battle. He paid the price, and he went to the cross to gain our freedom. That's why Jesus came to earth, so he could overcome the things that enslave us, that so he could set us free and give us that hope of new life in him. And if we allow him to be at work in our lives and in our hearts, then transformation and restoration will happen and freedom will come. As Nelson Mandela famously claimed, it may be a long road to freedom for all of us, or some of us. We each face different battles and challenges when it comes to this topic, don't we? And it is not easy at all. But hopefully, we can walk that road knowing that the decisive battle has been won for us, that we can live with that hope and that freedom will one day be established in all of its fullness and beauty. And this is how we can know what it really means to be fully alive. And I believe, and we believe here at Andover Community Church, that God wants us to know and experience as much of that freedom as possible in our earthly life, as a foretaste of God's kingdom that's to come. I love something that Paul, who's an early leader of the church, who lived around and after the time of Jesus, says on this topic. There's a paraphrase that I'm going to read, and he wrote it to Christians who are living in Galatia. And he says this: Jesus has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand And never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Jesus has won our freedom, but we need to take our stand. So what is it that you long to be free from? What are those things that hold you back in life? What are those battles that you feel like giving up on? We're going to keep these questions in our minds and have some time to reflect on this as the band come up in a moment and play a couple of songs. And no matter where you are in your journey of faith, I think this is something that all of us can do. Just open our hearts and minds on this topic today. And if there's something that you specifically want to bring to God and to pray about, we'd love to invite you to do this. We've got an active way for those of us here on site to do that. You should all find a card on your seats. This has got a little space on the back for you to write your own prayer on it, a prayer request. You don't have to put your name or anything like that. What is it that you long to be free for? What are you crying out to God for? Maybe it's for yourself, maybe it's for somebody else. And if you want to take part in that, feel free, keep this, take it home, do whatever you want. But if you want to actively respond today, there's some pens dotted about, pencils. We'd love for you to write your prayer on here, and then during the songs, just come and place it at the foot of the cross and leave it there and leave it with God. And we're going to collect up these prayer requests. We're going to be praying in the week, but on Thursday, we have an online prayer gathering, and we will be praying for you. We will be praying for these requests, and we'd love for you to join us on Thursday as well. There's another way you can engage with this. You can do that right now, today, during the week. If you've got our Next Steps app, there's a little video on the screen. There's ways that you can put your own prayer requests on there. You can do it privately and no one will see it. It's kind of in your own logbook. Or if you're able to do this, you can share it publicly and anonymously if you'd like, and others will be praying for you. And again, we're going to be using this leading up to our prayer gathering on Thursday as a way to get more prayer requests in and to be praying for all of you. So for those of us here on site, if you're online, and just do this in your mind's eye if you can. If you're willing and you want to just take part now before I pray, I'd love for you to grab your card. If you've got a card near you, just hold it in your hand. And if you feel comfortable, as I pray in a moment, just close your eyes. Let's let our thoughts and our feelings come to the fore on this issue of freedom. And I'm going to pray for us, and then the band are going to come and play a few songs. And in your own time, and however you want to respond, if you want to write on that card and bring it up to the front and lay it down, that's our invitation to you, just to respond to this in your own way and prayerfully. So let's grab our cards if you want to do that, and let's pray together. Loving God, we just realize the enormity of this issue of freedom. We thank you that freedom meant so much to you, that you long for our freedom so much that Jesus came to this earth and he died on a cross for us. And whether we know this and we've been following that idea for a long time, or whether maybe we've never really considered that, there are ways in our lives, there are things that want to rob us of our freedom and of our joy. There are things that hold us back. And this bit of paper or card may not feel heavy, but it represents something of immense weight for each of us that only you know, God, what it is that we long to be free from. So we ask today for your help. We can't do it on our own. We need you. Holy Spirit, would you guide us now to open our hearts, open our minds, to receive the freedom that you have won for us. And show us what our step is on this journey, what our next step can be towards that freedom that you have promised each and every one of us through Jesus. Amen.